Call for the weeping mothers, the lost fathers, and the forsaken children, and let them come quickly, for a voice of crying is heard out of Zion. For we are greatly confused, for death has come into our ghettos to cut off the young men and women from the streets of Philadelphia, New York, L.A., Georgia, Ohio, Florida, Mississippi, and throughout America, South America, the Caribbean islands, Africa, Asia, and all over the world. So return unto me, thus saith Yah, and I will return unto you, O my people.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." And with all that getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com. That's timeforanawakening.com and listen to the live stream from the homepage. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforawakening. Again, it's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and listen to the live stream from that location. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening and you'll see the icon to listen to the live stream. And you can stream it live even into your into your car. That's Time for Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. That's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program, and there you always see interesting content being posted daily. And before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook and Time for Awakening Media, the homepage. That's timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. There you see more interesting content, blogs, and podcasts of the programs that you can download, listen at later times, or even share with your friends. So again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. It's timeforanawakening.com. That's timeforanawakening.com. We'll take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, we're scheduled to have a special guest join us, activist and organizer and head of Black Lives Matter, Pennsylvania. Brother Asa Khalif is with us, is scheduled to be with us this evening. We'll get into conversations dealing with Brother Khalif's push for justice for the David Jones family and the aftermath and the repercussions of his activism. We'll talk about all of that and the responsibility of black elected officials in this whole scenario. We'll get into all of that with our special guest, Brother Asa Khalif. He's scheduled to join us. And we'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m., for podcasting or live program scheduling. hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
And how are you, sir? I'm doing great.
I'm doing fine. I'm looking forward to our conversation tonight.
You know, I'm glad to have Brother Asa with us. Been knowing him for a while since we were on terrestrial radio. He was a frequent caller to the program when we were on terrestrial radio. We got kind of lost in the sauce when we came over to internet radio and streaming. But I'm glad people are starting to find it. We're still on the air, and the struggle continues. You know, before we bring in our guests, I want to play a clip for the listening audience. It made national news, but I want to play this clip so you can hear the interaction between our guests and his our quote-unquote black elected officials in city council. Just want to play this before we bring our guests in, if I can find this thing and cue it up.
I can't understand why a council president who made his bones off of black people voting for him in North Philadelphia is silent when you have a shooting death on tape here in Philadelphia. So now we're here. We've already heard from the mayor. We've already heard from the managing director. So we got what they said. Now we're asking you, where do you stand on the death and the shooting death of David Jones? I want you to say in front of everybody where you stand. Well, then we're going to keep right here while you're talking. Then see, this is the mess. Excuse me, I'm talking about myself. But this is an attitude. See, this is why you'll never be the mayor of the city, because you're not smart. If you came up to John Street, you're not smart. See, the mayor knew that I am not going to let myself tangled up in this. I'm going to play the political role, whether you agree or not. He's a smart politician. That's why he's the mayor. You'll never be. And the managing director understood where we were coming from. They understood the sympathy of the family and the outrage of the people, black people who vote for you. Now you're going to sit here with all black people here saying you're not going to dictate to us. That's the wrong answer, councilman. That's the wrong answer. And you're not going to dictate to us. We will shut this motherfucker down. Do you understand? We will shut it down. We will shut it. This is now a Black Lives Matter occupation. And you're not going to speak since you want to disrespect the family of David Jones by dictating to us? That's the wrong answer, Council President.
Let me respond.
Yeah, go ahead and respond then, sir.
So, with respect to your issue, our issue, because it's our issue, I have talked to a number of individuals, starting with the police department, and have talked to the Attorney General. This particular issue, as you may or may not know, is going to be forwarded to the Attorney General's office of the state of further investigation, because we anticipate that we will take away some of the issues with respect to the internal process of the police. I spoke to the Attorney General last week about this issue. So that process will be made aware publicly. We will hopefully get a reasonable approach to having this investigated, and we will have an outcome.
What is your personal opinion as the council president? Where do you stand on this shooting? Have you seen the videotape?
Anytime, you told me he did, but I don't think he did.
Anytime an individual is shot in the back, there needs to be some answers. The simple reality.
Okay, well, this is this officer's second time shooting somebody in the back. Because it's more deeper than one person getting shot in the back. It's deeper than that.
So where do you stand? That's the answer.
What I want to do is I believe we'll have. As I said, I've talked to the Attorney General, and I believe this is going to be a thorough, and I believe this is going to be
a thorough. But we're not asking you. You're missing the
point. How do you feel about it?
We're not asking you about the investigation. We're asking you, where do you stand on the shooting as you saw the videotape? It said, Commissioner Ross said it gave him pause.
Right.
So where do you stand?
It gave me more than pause.
Okay, so
as a black man, okay, and as a person that grew up in North Philadelphia, the simple reality is there are a lot of troubling issues with respect to the shooting, as there is any shooting with respect to a police officer or anybody else. Right? Because I do have problems with possibly inappropriate shootings by police, but I also have problems with the more than 300 people that get killed every year in the city.
Yeah, we do too, absolutely.
And the 1,200 people. So
absolutely.
My approach to this issue is, well, I'd like to deal with all of the violence.
But right now we're talking about. But right now, Councilperson, Councilman, we're talking about. We're talking about 9 weeks, Councilman. The fact that we have to even come and interrupt you for you to even go on record to say something is just outrageous. It's outrageous as a black man who grew up in North Philadelphia.
The reality is that you did not come and ask me.
We've reached out to every politician in our press conference, and you what makes you think you're mayor? You think you're better than the mayor, that we can't, if we shut him down, you can't be shut down, right? Neither Darryl Clark.
You know, you're not serious.
No, we're very serious about it. That's how serious we are.
Well, why didn't you
we're here. We sent you the same information asking for your response that we sent to every politician here.
This is the problem. He just told us, why didn't we come to him? He's seen a video of a black man being shot by an officer who has a history of shooting black men. He was allowed to still stay on the force after shooting one black man in the back. The councilman, Darryl Clark, president, just said, why didn't we come to him? Why do we have to come to you? If you the councilman, you the president, why don't you see these problems and address them? Why do we got to come down here and do this for you to speak? The first time we spoke in 2 months.
Do you know how many people are stopped and frisked in your district? Of course not. You got your head tipped ass to realize what black folks are doing. The fact is, most of the stop and frisk is right here in this man's district. How do we know? Because we're in your neighborhood every day. We're taking the complaints. We are sending them to the Police Advisory Commission to file those complaints. We hear from those black mothers. We know about police violence in your district. So you are aware of these things. Here's a black man who is the president of city council who has to be forced by two black young men to respond about a shooting of a black man. You're not going to talk. You might as well sit down, because we're shutting this down. We're shutting you down because you're a hypocrite. You might have been raised in North Philadelphia. You might have been raised in North Philadelphia, but certainly you have lost your way. When you cannot understand, when we got to have a meeting with you, that was your response. Your response, two white politicians had a better response than your black ass. You should be ashamed of yourself. And I'm telling you now that David Jones' life matters. This is what we're doing at Black Lives Matter. We're shutting things down.
Welcome back to Time for Awakening. I want to welcome in our guests for this evening, activist organizing here at Black Lives Matter, Pennsylvania. Brother Asa Khalif is with us. Brother Asa.
Peace and blessings, Brother Elliot. Thank you for having me.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just empowering by listening to some of the footage that you showed. This was a powerful summer. We dedicated our summer to fight for David Jones and his family, and just reminiscing back on some of the actions that we've done, along with Brother Isaac Gardner, a.k.a. Ike, the gentleman you heard on the that was also responding.
Okay.
Was with me. He's head of the Justice for David Jones Coalition. And I mean, and we came together, you know, as black people, Brother Elliot, and got people involved who had never been activists before. And, you know, the dedication of that coalition and the dedication of the members of Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania, you know, we made that personal decision to stand with this family and not allow any politicians, especially the black ones, to run away and silent. So it was very powerful hearing those words and just reminiscing on this the actions that we did this summer that really forced change. And again, the fight continues. But thank you again for highlighting those actions, and thank you for having me on the show.
Brother Asa, welcome you to the show, and along myself and Brother Richard.
How you doing, Brother Asa?
Brother Richard. What's going on, Brother Richard? How are you, man?
I'm good.
Brother Asa, listen, before we get into it, because this is going to go in a lot of directions, dealing with black elected officials, dealing with the FOP here in Philadelphia. Before we talk about any of that, talk about how you first got involved with trying to get justice for the Jones family. Did they Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? How did this transpire?
Well, I've been monitoring the 15th District, which is the district that this officer came out of. This is the same district which police officers shot and killed my cousin, Brandon Tate Brown, 2.5 years ago. So, you know, we understood in Black Lives Matter, we knew of the violence coming out of that district and the police violence that is condoned and in that district, that particular district. And I said before, when we were protesting for justice for Brandon Tate Brown, that district will, police officers will kill again. And fast forward to 2017, unfortunately, our dear brother David Jones came in contact with that same police officer with a history of violence and unfortunately died as a result of his injuries. But how we got involved, we were monitoring the shooting. We were aware of it. And Isaac Gardner, Ike Raw, who is head of the David Jones, Justice of David Jones Coalition, who had never been an activist before, felt so compelled and so outraged by the shooting that in his spirit, he had the courage to organize or call for a rally for the 15th District. And we came to support that brother. And it kind of spiraled from that point on. We connected as spiritual brothers. And out of that was formed the Justice for David Jones Coalition. And it just kind of went from there. But, you know, it shows that even individuals who have not been in a focal point in this movement are still compelled. And we still have brothers and sisters who are willing to stand up for justice and put themselves on the line. You know, he put his body on the line. And we were able to make that connection with the family through him. And met his mother and met his father and met his stepmother. As well as his brothers and sisters. And, you know, I the whole family, but, you know, really connecting with that brother's, our brother's father, losing his son and having him out there fighting through the pain. You know, like the whole family is traumatized by that. But, you know, within their strength, in the sadness, they're finding strength. And they support us 100%, and that's how we pretty much made that connection. But it started from Brother Isaac Gardner, who saw an injustice and had the courage to stand up for it, and with that created the movement to call for the officer's arrest as well as his firing.
Okay. Hopefully later on in the conversation, maybe Brother Gardner will reach out and join us in in the conversation.
Yeah,
this evening.
I already sent the word out, Brother Ellie, so you should be calling that.
Good. Brother Asa, knowing your involvement with other movements and being active in the city of Philadelphia, I know that you didn't just run down to City Hall and disrupt proceedings in those venues. I know that you went through channels before you got to that point. Talk
Absolutely.
About, and I want you to kind of slow walk the audience, because a lot of people have an impression that voting for our people will change, just automatically change things. And that's not accurate at all. A lot of our people that get into these political offices don't have the consciousness, and if they did have it at one time, they lose their way, just like you told the council president up there. Something happens along the way where they have allegiances to other communities beside their own. Talk about the channels that you went through, all the politicians that you talk with before you got to that point and their responses to you. Being that you're a black man trying to advocate for a black family, going to black politicians, both men and women, talk about your responses that the responses that you got from them and who you talked to?
Well, all of the council people were sent an email asking for, this is the first week of the shooting, Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania, we sent an email to every politician asking for them to, number one, reach out to the family, and number two, informing them that there was actually a rally being planned, as I said, under Brother Isaac Gardner, and that we would encourage them to please come out and stand with the family, even if they didn't want to make a official statement on the shooting because it was, quote unquote, under investigation. At least go out and meet the mother, meet the stepmother, meet his siblings, and meet his father, and at least attend the rally. These are individuals, like I said, Black and brown people who voted them in. These are the same constituents that they go to every time it's time for them to run for office again. And I thought it would then, it sends a message not only to our community that individuals that we elect to represent us, to be our voice, will not run and hide because under the weight of the FOP and law enforcement here in Philadelphia. And none of them responded.
None of them responded. Okay.
Any politician, Brother Elliott, that responded only because of the pressure.
Okay.
That we had, that Isaac Gardner under the Coalition for Justice for David Jones and Black Lives Matter PA, they only responded out of fear or they were embarrassed and pressured to respond.
Okay.
When we confronted Darryl Clark, that was 9 weeks after the shooting of David Jones. David Jones was shot June 8th. That was the 9th week of politicians, Black politicians in particular, and their silence. So the anger here in our voice was the fact that we had to take time out to come and publicly shame you. And I get upset even thinking about it now, because as a Black man in this city, with the history of the police and violence towards our people, men, women, children in our community, and we elect you, Black politicians, to come to speak on our behalf, and you are silent, and it took young people like us to come and check you, that's unacceptable. So the only reason why he spoke, the only reason why he went and issued an official statement after the video went viral and news media started to pick up and David Jones' shooting went from local news to national news, he was embarrassed and he was forced to talk about it. And that's unacceptable for any politician of color. So any politician that you saw us in terms of shutting things down, shutting their press conferences down, confronting them, if they spoke, they were forced. Or if they spoke, it was out of fear that we were going to come and disrupt their event that they had coming on the calendar. And that's the truth.
Yeah, Brother Asa, one more thing before I let Brother Richard jump in here. 3 weeks ago, or maybe a little over 3 weeks ago, you can kind of let me know the time, you decided to move the protest to the killer cops' home up there in the Northeast.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned, and I'm going to keep coming back to this in our conversation at different times. You mentioned about Brother Isaac Gardner and the courage. You didn't mention that in reference to yourself, but it takes courage to do what you men have been doing. Now, when you went up there to the Northeast to that cop's home to take the protest right to his door, talk about the response that you not only got from the white neighbors, but the police that ran up there to protect and surround his house. Talk about that interaction. Give our audience the interaction of what went on up there, because it takes guts and courage to what you did. Those officers or people out of those houses could have easily gunned one of you down and used the excuse that you came after. Now, I'm just throwing that out there, but let our listening audience know what happened when you men went up there.
Well, I want to make let the listeners know, listening audience know, there were two black sisters that was with us also.
Okay.
And one sister had never, these two sisters had never been in quote unquote activism before. One was a, had a relationship with, as a member of the family of David Jones, and the other sister lives in Center City and, you know, has a wonderful job and it's a very, you know, when I use those that to describe her, because these are usually individuals who's, you know, oh, well, that was wrong, or maybe even write a check to help with some of the protesting. But they actually went and put themselves on the line. So I want to applaud those sisters that was with us, Tiffany and our sister Lynn, along with the brothers who attended also from the Coalition and Black Lives Matter PA. But when we first had our meeting to discuss the possibility of going to the officers' home, just a note, Brother Elliot, it's never been done before here in Philadelphia. It's been done several times around the country in mm-hmm. different cities, but it's never been done here in Philadelphia. That was the first time any organization, any activist groups or activists actually went to the home of the killer cop. And so we knew that we needed to step up the game and take it to the next step, shutting press conferences down, shutting events down, going into certain neighborhoods where representatives or, excuse me, city council people live at, it's mostly in the Northeast, blocking traffic. All of that is good as part of the strategic plan. But we needed to step up the game because we wanted the process to begin firing of the police officer. And then, of course, we would go on to the next phase. So we, when it came up in the meeting, we really struggled. And I say all of us struggled because we did not know what would happen once we got there. There's always a potential for violence when black people, black and brown people speak up, are militant with their actions at times. And it was a very militant move going to the killer cop's home. So we didn't know how it was going to go down. We were prepared for anything. We were prepared to be met with violence. We were prepared to go to jail. We were prepared to do whatever the consequences was for going. But we prayed over them. We struggled with that. It wasn't just like we got out of the bed and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. There was a strategic plan. We posted as a decor that we were going to the 15th district and protest in front of their district again. The decoy, so all the killer cops were there blocking traffic, protecting property over people. And so that was our decoy while we were going to the police officer's home. We played that very close to the vest, but I want to let your listeners know that we did not take this lightly. We were putting ourselves in danger. We always put ourselves, when black people speak up, there's always an element of danger. But this, as I said before, has never been done before. And we prayed over it. We called on our ancestors to protect us, to lead us, to guide us. We had attorneys on the phone, even as we drove up to the office, to the killer cop's house. We were on the phone with our attorneys. We had people on the other end of the phone praying. We had our elders praying. You know, we had, even up to the very moment of getting out of the car, we were still making sure that this was the right decision, that everyone was in solidarity with this. And we were ready. We were on board. And again, we had the strength of our ancestors to give us the courage to go out there. We were met with all types of racial slurs. You know, people want the language. Well, you call me a nigga, I'm going to call you an effing cracker, okay? And I don't care how anyone likes it. You know, I could care less how they feel about it. You want to use that type of language with us, we're going to use that type of language with you, because we were not there to harass the neighbors. We were there to call out the killer cop who murdered our brother, David Jones, and we wanted him arrested and charged with the murder. So that was our reason for being there. And that was the only reason why we were there. So we didn't take it, you know, this was we well thought out. Okay. And we struggled a lot with it, you know, but we made the right decision We made a decision that we could live with, and I'm glad we made that decision. If we had a chance to do it all over again, I would not have changed my decision or my to go. We needed to call this killer cop out. We needed to take that type of dramatic step to make sure that the FOP and the city and these politicians who were silent understood that we meant business and we were not going away. So they said we crossed the line. I don't think we crossed the line. I think the line was crossed when that killer cop first shot our brother Carnell Carney in 2010 and got away with it. And the brother is paralyzed to this day. So he crossed the line when he put those witnesses, which was a black man and his children, that he was supposed to be in charge of transporting from one place to another so they could give their testimony on a different case. He put them in jeopardy. And so he crossed the line many, many times in his career as a police officer and law enforcement officer. So I don't think we crossed the line at all. I think we did what we had to do as black people to show that this case is not going to be buried under the radar or go under the radar like they tried to bury Brandon Tate Brown, like they tried to bury Move, like they tried to bury Dante Dawson. You know, it's a history of law enforcement from Rizzo all the way down to this current mayor of violence against black and brown people. And we're sick and tired of it now. So under the Black Lives Matter movement, if our tactics are militant, so be it. We want justice for David Jones, and we don't care about what we did. We did it because we did it in the name of justice. And again, going back to that police officer's house is not off the table. Nothing is off the table at this point because we want the officer charged with the murder of David Jones, and we're willing to do whatever we need to do to take it to the next step and take it to the step next after that. We want justice, and we're not going anywhere. So, again, it was a heartfelt decision. It was not an irrational decision. We knew why we were there, and we were in complete solidarity when we were there. So
We're in conversation with activist and organizer and head of Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania. Brother Asa Khalif is with us to talk about the movement behind the push for justice for the Jones family and the murder of David Jones by a killer cop here in Philadelphia. We got calls on the line. I want you to stay with us. Brother Richard, jump in here before we take a break and go to the callers.
Yes, how you doing, Brother Asa? Let me say this. As I seen that tape of with the city council president and also your action with, I think it was another council a council member that was dealing with a, I think it was a ribbon cutting event.
It was Bobby Heenan's action, but we also shut down the mayor, the managing director, former governor, Mayor Ed Rendell. We shut many events and stuff down. It wasn't just with the council people, but anyone that was tied to the city politically, we were going to shut down to, you know, put the spotlight on David Jones.
And the thing that touched me was, as you Brother Elliott mentioned, the courage, and also the point that you raised in relationship to political action, right? The pressure.
Yes.
Because I think that is necessary for us as a for us as a people understand that our political activity isn't just voting for these when you talk about the elected officials itself. So the courage, you know, really, because especially when it dealt with dealing with the police. I just would like to shift the context of militant. We had a guest on who's been on a couple of times, Ezra Aharon, and he has this book out dealing with sovereign psyche, and his definition of what you have to have to have a sovereign psyche, he said it's the motivating consciousness, intellect, and will that is necessary to materialize what he defines as self-authentic freedom
as opposed to chattel freedom. And the reason why I commend you, because when I look at, you know, and right now they're projecting your image, even though you're part of a coalition and Black Lives Matter is a part of a movement, that freedom, you know, that self-authentic freedom. So what I'm asking is, do you see yourself as an individual projecting this sovereignty, this individual sovereignty in the political process?
I think, just to address the militant action, all of our actions have not been militant. It really depends on the target. It depends on the type of message that we want to send at that particular time. I think with politics, all politics are local. And we needed to really send that message like a fire under the politicians here in Philadelphia, especially those of color, that have lost their way. And I believe you have lost your way when you don't speak up for Black and brown people. We had a issue, a few days ago, last week, in fact, we had the victim of the first victim of the former killer cop, our dear brother Carnell Williams Carney, who spoke in city council. He was not scheduled to speak, but he was going to speak one way or the other, and we were going to make that happen. And so, it wasn't quote unquote militant. We asked for the council people, since they were silent throughout the summer, to remain silent and our brother to speak, which they did. And I think it was important for that type of action, Brother Richard and Brother Elliot, is to show, because sometimes we have to remove ourselves out the way as activists and really let the victim have a voice. And this officer took this victim, our brother's voice, away, and he reclaimed that voice. And not only did he get out of the role of the victim and actually became a survivor and a warrior. And so he was able to speak in his own words. He was able to show, be a face and a voice to why we went to that police officer's house, why we were shutting things down this summer, because we needed to for them to understand, to humanize that he's just more than just a name that was in a newspaper, that this was a victim who has long-term effects from this man's violence. And he received a standing ovation. He spoke from his heart. We didn't tell him what to say. All I told him was to speak truth to power, brother. And so I think, getting back to your question, that's the type of, because folks want to paint a type of narrative about who I am, about what Black Lives Matter is. And so, that's not the narrative or the image I'm trying to portray. It's not the image that Black Lives Matter have. We are passionate about Black and brown people. We are passionate about justice, equal justice under the law. And so at times there will be militant type of actions, and then there will be actions where we can go in very subtle and have our brother speak and then leave. So, the whole, just to get back to your question is,
are you expressing sovereignty and expressing that passion as an individual? And do we as Black people need to be expressing that and following up with this kind of pressure in the political machinery?
I think so. No, absolutely. I think we have the white supremacist system expects for us to be divided. Anytime where Black and brown people are facing harm, and I say this all the time, anti-blackness everywhere. We must be in solidarity at this point. We're not going to always agree. A lot of people don't agree how I organize. I don't agree so much how other people organize. But at the end of the day, we are Black people. And so as Black people who are facing anti-blackness on a daily basis under white supremacy and police violence, we have to have a united front and be together. And we must, as our sister Asada Shakur made her famous quote, "We must love and protect one another. We have absolutely nothing to lose but our chains." So what I'm about is I can work with anyone and stand in solidarity with anyone, as long as you're fighting for justice and the liberation of Black and brown people. Even I can put my personal feelings aside and check my ego at the door, to stand in solidarity with our community. I think this is what the Black Lives Matter movement is all about now, is coming together, you know, from all walks of life. We're still Black people coming together to fight against anti-Blackness and fight against white supremacy and fight against police brutality and police violence in our community. So that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm linking with other groups. I've worked with other groups before in the past. I've been a member of certain groups before. This time when we are truly under attack as Black people, we cannot afford to be divided. We need everybody on board. We need our elders. Our elders participated in some of the shutdown during the summer. I always have our elders there. I always have advice, you know, welcome their advice and have them on the front line as well. We need everybody. Everybody needs at this point. We need the young, the old, the in-between. We need Black and brown people, men and women, standing together in solidarity, fighting against this. And I ask everyone who's listening to stand with us and help us fight as we ask, or excuse me, demand the charges of murder be stowed upon this killer cop.
And Ellie, before you go to the call, can I just state one of the Philadelphia statistics in relationship to just the payouts or the misconduct cases that Philadelphia is dealing with, to show what Brother Asa is really dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the articles, it's dealing with a report from 2009 to 2014, and it's saying there was 600 misconduct lawsuits. And in Philadelphia, at that period of time, it had 586 cases that it was brought against the city of Philadelphia, which put out $40 million in damages. So this, what Brother A said is speaking about in relationship to, you know, the life of David Jones, is not something that is a small thing, and why it's so important to do, as you say, to kind of link up and express the kind of working together to solidarity. So I thought that was important to let the listening audience know that this is no little thing or isolated thing when it comes to Philadelphia and the police department.
Let's grab a couple calls before we take a break. Let's go to 267. 267, what's your name? Where you calling from? 267? Let's put them back on hold. He might have stepped away. Let's go to another 267. 267, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Yes, Brother Elliot, Brother Richard.
How are you, sir?
Yes.
How are you? And Asa Khalif, how are you, sir?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
You're doing an ace job. Listen, my friend, I met you during the Hillary Clinton and the Trump campaign, and you and Flood the Drummer Norris were in Miss Tootsie's. And
yes.
You got on the air with Reverend Tyler. And Reverend mm-hmm. Tyler is a good person also. And I have not been dissatisfied with your actions on the mic, on the street, on the radio. And I'm going to tell you, brother, during time in America, someone comes along, one, two, or three, and they're important to us. That voice that you have, David Walker's voice, that voice that you have, Frederick Douglass' voice, the voice that y'all carry is Harry Tubman's voice. And to every action, there was an equal and opposite to reaction. Malcolm was one time looked at someone who was out of time and out of tune. He reacted to an interaction. Minister Farrakhan at one time, stronger at one time in his youth, maybe more mild today. Jeremiah Shabazz. These people reacted to different reactions. Chicago Shakur, all these people. So my thing is to you, I've been so satisfied with Black Lives Matter, nationally and locally. I like the way you do things. Whether you're in Virginia, whether you're in front of Seth Williams' office, one day he actually had it one time with all of his corruption, whether you're at in front of a police officer's house who is a criminal behind a badge. I mean, how are you supposed to go to them if you're not getting the appropriate reaction? You're frustrated, brother, like the rest of us.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we're supposed to let them walk on us continually? Or are we going to fight back? Are we going to fight back and show them we're men and women standing up for our justice? And if listen, man, anything that's worth fighting for, you got to take it and make it right. So I want you to keep up this track. You and Flood, man. I listen to Tyler respectfully when he's on the radio, and I listen to Flood when Tyler's not there. And he had a guest this past Friday. He was all so good, too. His name was Wayne. But I want you folks to, and I'm on the line with you, man. And you have not let the community down to me for fighting for us. I'm going to tell you that now. People have their own opinion. They can have that. But let's look at the statistics. Let's look at the math. Let's look at the writing. Let's look at what you folks have done recently, nationally and locally. It's very significant, man. I think you're not going to let anybody take you off the path. And the better you get, the bigger it becomes, the more we can fight, the more effective we are. See, it's about being effective. You're being effective, and that's important. So keep up the fight, brother. I'm with you. Keep trying,
I appreciate that, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for your call.
Sure. And brother Elliot, mm-hmm. I also want to say to our dear brother, Christopher Flood, the Drummond Norris, who is not only a journalist, but a activist as well. And he wears two hats, and he has been right on the front lines with us in the Black Lives Matter movement, especially with the David Jones shooting. And I appreciate him for that as well.
Okay. Let's grab a couple more calls before we take our break. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller, are you there? Yes.
Yeah, this is Isaac Gardner.
Hey, how are you, brother?
I was holding on. How y'all doing?
How are you?
I'm good. I was listening to the show, man. I appreciate y'all giving Ace the opportunity to speak on the situations that's been going on with us and everything like that.
Well, I want you to stay with us. You can be part of the conversation because we were talking in reference to you and your actions and your courage, because it takes courage to do what both you men have been doing. So I want you to stay with us and you'll be part of the conversation that we're having this evening. I want to grab maybe a call or two more before we take a break. 215, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Maya.
Yes, Maya.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Great.
Hi. I just had a question. Because I've seen the organization and demonstration at the police officer's house, and it was just refreshing because I just thought no one in Philadelphia cares about a lot of the homicides that have been going on by police officers. I know we had the one gentleman, Brandon St. Brown, that was killed, and it just seemed like no one really cares. So just to see him out there was just like refreshing. So my first question is, how will a person like me, who is in the corporate industry, get involved because of fear? Like, I can't be seen on camera. I could possibly lose my job. So how do I get involved? Maybe just even in the background scene to be able to help out. And the next question is, once this officer is charged, how do we keep these people accountable and make sure they actually are found guilty? We see time and time again, these officers are being charged, but they're never found guilty. They get to walk and they get all this back pay. So what can we do to not only get them charged, but just to make sure that they're actually found guilty? Like, is there a way to hold these judges accountable who are, letting them off? It seems like we're just kind of going around in a circle. We fight, we get them charged, and they give us this trial to appease us, but then they end up walking. So what can we do?
Well, that's a tough question to answer, because we are dealing with an injustice system that support white supremacy. And sometimes we're able to get justice by falling through the cracks. But as we just saw in St. Louis, another police officer shooting a black male, even planting a gun, and the judge gets him off. And now we're back at the same cycle over and over again. I think we're just going to have to take it to the next level. And I'm not advocating violence, brothers, and please don't get me misunderstand me, but I think at some point Malcolm X said if you truly want justice, you're going to have to take it in the streets. And, I mean, we've seen it's pretty much with, you know, it's the same script, different cast. We've seen this before with Eric Garner. We've seen it before with even here in Philadelphia, Brandon Tate Brown. We've seen this with even, you know, with so many. I mean, just so many black brothers and sisters, Sandra Bland, over and over and over. We've seen this play out. And I think what we need to do, it's a sister's question first, the last second's question is, we're going to have to keep putting the pressure on. I mean, we really have to take it to the next step. We're going to have to keep going to police officers' homes. We're going to have to go to the judges' homes. We're going to have to go to the politicians' homes. We're going to have to step up our game, because they can't keep going, putting us through this this rotating, reciting door back and over and over and over again, and we're not getting justice. We're going to have to take it to the streets. We're going to have to shut down the city. We're going to have to demand and send a message to these judges, to these politicians, to law enforcement, that we're not tolerating any more of acquittals and individuals who are in law enforcement who participate in this type of violence. We're just not going to sit back anymore and just wait and twiddle our thumbs. And I hope we can use whatever system. Unfortunately, this is the system that we have. We can try to make it work for us. But I think there needs to be consequences when police officers are just dismissed or acquitted. I think we need to form an occupation of the city and shut the whole city down. You know, there has to be a direct message now that our lives matter, and we're just not going to sit back anymore and allow you to acquit these police officers or not charge these police officers. If it means shutting the expressways down, whatever we need to do, we're just going to have to take it to the next level, because I, quite frankly, have run out of all answers. I don't know what to do. Once the justice system is not working for us, then we need to revamp and figure out what we can do to make justice work for ourselves. And in terms of getting in contact, we have a Facebook page, Black Lives Matter Movement Pennsylvania Chapter. On my Facebook page is Asa Khalif, but you can also email me and I can give you all the information in terms of our meetings and how you can work. Us, even if behind the scenes, we understand a lot of people can't be out in front and protest. We actually have a lot of people, our brothers and sisters, who work behind the scenes to help us. And you can contact me at Asa, A-S-A, Khalif, K-H-A-L-I-F, @gmail.com.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was trying to cut
you.
Can you say one more time so I can
cut this, please? I'm sorry.
You broke up a little bit, Maya.
So your email, you said it so quick, I didn't get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say it. Sure. Asa, A-S-A, Khalif, K-H-A-L-I-F-S, and Frank, @gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll be expecting again. I appreciate all the work that you're doing, because you're doing this to benefit all of us. And I appreciate that you're in my prayers, and if there's ever anything I can do once I email you, I appreciate you. But no one ever told you. We humbly as Black people need to thank you for what you're doing, because you're putting your life on the line. What you're doing is not an easy task. I can only imagine the things that that you have to do, and even going to the police as well. So
absolutely.
Thank you. I humbly say thank you so much for everything you do every day, day in and day out. And you are a true blessing, and to keep up and to just stay strong, because this is a fight that we're all fighting, and you're the person out there with your face on the front line. So again, thank you so much for everything that you do for our people, and have a good night.
Thank you for your call, Maya.
Thank you for your prayers.
Let's grab one more before we take a break. A caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller? He must have stepped away. Caller? We'll put them back on hold. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with our special guest, activist and organizer and head of Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania, Brother Asa Khalif, is with us to talk about his efforts behind trying to get justice for the Jones family in the murder of David Jones by a killer cop here in Philadelphia. We'll be right back. Stay with us, callers, and you can get involved too by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
What is in 1 million brothers and sisters who are tired of the same old rhetoric, the same old leaders, the same old ways of dealing with political and economic empowerment? If you realize that nobody's going to save black people but us, if you understand that no existing political party prioritizes the best interests of African Americans as a collective, if you believe that leadership is as leadership does, and this means that the best leaders for the black collective must come from the ranks of those who place and hold the best interests of black people foremost and uttermost, if you understand that black people must develop the mindset and the will to finance their own racial uplift organizational efforts, then get involved with 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. The movement is now. Go to www.iamoneofthemillion.com. That's www.iamoneofthemillion.com.
The control press, the white press, inflames the white public against Negroes. The police are able to use it to paint the Negro community as a criminal element. The police are able to use the press to make the white public think that 90% or 99% of the Negroes in the Negro community are criminals. And once the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is in on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether he is poorly dressed, whether he is educated or whether he is dumb, whether he's a Christian or whether he's a Muslim. As long as he is black and a member of the Negro community, the white public thinks that the white policeman is justified in going in there and trampling on that man's civil rights and on that man's human rights. Once the police have convinced the white public that the so-called Negro community is a criminal element, they can go in and question, brutalize, murder unarmed, innocent Negroes, and the white public is gullible enough to back them up. This makes the Negro community a police state. This makes the Negro neighborhood a police state. It's the most heavily patrolled. It has more police in it than any other neighborhood, yet it has more crime in it than any other neighborhood. How can you have more cops and more crime? Why? It shows you that the cops must be in cahoots with the criminals.
The police, the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is American democracy.
Yes,
and those of you who are familiar with it,
yes,
know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy.
Right.
Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail.
Right.
But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. We're in conversation tonight with activist, organizer, and head of Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania. Brother Asa Khalif is with us. And also joined by an activist that is with him on the streets in the neighborhoods. Brother Isaac Gardner is with us also. Two men stay with us. We're going to take a couple more calls, then we'll go back to conversation. Let's go to 404 area code. 404, join the conversation. What's your name?
Hey, my name Wes, man. I'm calling them down here from Atlanta, man. Elliot and Richard and the guests, my brothers, man. I like the conversation, man.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, man, I commend what y'all doing, man. That's what we have to do. Take it to these devil police, man. Okay? Mm-hmm. Y'all doing the right thing. Go to their house, man. And if necessary, you got to answer the question right here now. I just hope y'all defend yourself, man. Because y'all putting these women online, man. Okay? When you run with the devil, you got to know how to rumble with the devil, man. Okay? And then my big question is, man, this Black Lives Matter thing, I got to follow the money, Elizabeth Richard. I got to follow the money. Okay? My brother, do you know Black Lives Matter is funded and financed by George Soros? Did you follow who paying y'all, man?
Well, we're part of the Black Lives Matter movement, and George Soros have not given us a check at all, but we welcome any type of donations for anybody, no matter what color they are, that's going to fight for the liberation of black and brown people, because we need funds to help fight. We need funds to help travel. We need funds to protect each other and ourselves when we're out there. And we need funds to get, you know, when we're arrested, to bail people out and bail our troops out. So we don't discriminate against any funding. We boast of our fundings when we, you know, with Black Lives Matter activism that's a part of the movement. And I'm a national organizer, actually an international organizer within the Black Lives Matter movement. I've organized from Paris to Rome to London. And most of the time, you know, when we have a local demonstration, to get it off the ground, we come out of our own pockets for that. We just now started getting funding or donations because we're consistent. So, you know, who people choose to do with their money, if they want to fund for liberation for black people, I'm all for it. As long as you're not hindering us, because our ultimate goal is, whether you fund us or not, we will find a way to make sure that we keep the lights on in terms of this movement.
Yes, sir. I agree with you, man. I'm a military strategist, man, and I study how these white devils do this, man. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Just food for thought for all y'all.
No, and trust me, brother. I'm very much aware of people and making sure they don't put their agenda in our movement. My goal has not changed. I'm for the total liberation of black and brown people, period.
Yes, sir. I am too. But look at here. I'm going to tell you how these devils going to do this, man, okay? With this labeling this Black Lives Matter, man. This is how they going to do it. You'll get some old job of marketeers that's black like you and me to go out here and do something stupid, and then they're going to put the blame on Black Lives Matter, man. That's how these devils go. They play this, man. I read their playbook, man. So I always think ahead, bro. Okay. And what you, I'm telling you, what you need to do, you probably gonna have to be smooth with this and drop the label of Black Lives Matter and do this thing underground, man, without no label. And go step with what y'all doing. You got the right move. And go to these devils' house. It's necessary. We gotta step it up eye for eye. But with this labeling thing, Black Lives Matter, they're going to try to do something and say Black Lives Matter did it, and there you go with the whole thing blown out of proportion, and everybody going to get blamed for Black Lives Matter, bro. So I'm just trying to look ahead and let y'all know how these devils going to play this game. So you got to
these devils can't stop our ancestors, and we are being led by our elders, because we stand on the shoulders of our black elders and our ancestors, and they have guided us throughout all of our actions here locally, not only just dealing with the David Jones shooting, but again, all the other shootings and injustice that we've been on the front lines fighting for here in Philadelphia. Rather we go underground, rather we say Black Lives Matter, rather we just stay black, devils will always try to put someone up to do something stupid and put it on us. They've already tried that. But again, we have to be out there and be consistent. We cannot get, sidetracked by the names. As long as we are in solidarity, standing strong together as black people, I don't care what they call it. We are 100% in solidarity, justice for the total liberation of black and brown people. So if it's under the Black Lives Matter movement, if it's under civil rights movement, if it's under black power, however it is labeled, that's the least thing that we're concerned with. We want justice for black and brown people, and we're not going to be distracted by labels.
Thank you for your call, Wes.
Man, I'm with you, bro. Hey, one more thing. I agree with you, bro. I'm with you, man, but I just learned self-defense, man. Be ready to rumble. That's all I'm saying.
We come from the hood. We come from the hood, brother. We know how to rumble. Trust me. You ain't got to tell us twice. We know how to rumble.
I'm with you, man.
Thank you for your call, brother.
Appreciate it.
Before we go to our next call, Brother Gardner, I want you to get involved in this one here, along with Brother Asa. I don't know whether it was a couple of days later or whatever. You can put the time frame on it. After you men went up and protested, the men and women, the sisters and brothers, went up and protested in front of that cop's home, they had a mini Klan rally or white supremacy rally up there in the Northeast with politicians there, when the FOP president called you men and women, to be honest, I'm saying that he called the black community, because Black Lives Matter and you, Brother Gardner, and you, Brother Asa, are part of the community. So when this guy gets up there and calls the community rabid dogs, it needs to be a response. Now, the first line of response should have been those black elected officials that's sitting there in city council that seen some of their brethren council people up there at that Klan rally. Before I even talk about that, tell me your opinion, your feelings. I know your feelings when you heard that fat pig, Porky Pig McNisby make those comments. But talk about, you know, when you look at your brethren that's sitting in those offices and they don't even respond to those racially charged remarks, give me your feelings on it before I go to Brother Asa, Brother Gardner.
Well, it's a feeling of disgust. You know, it's a feeling of, you know, if I could think of a word, you know, worse than disgusting, then that's what it would be. Because just like you said, you know, they see these people every day. They work together. They're their fellow councilmen. You had, you know, white councilmen attending, like you said. It was a Klan rally. That's all it basically was. You know, I seen probably one black person there, you know, and it was a cop that probably was serving trees in the back or something like that.
Oh, man.
But at the end of the day.
It was a black person in the audience?
Yeah, it was a black police officer, but he wasn't like an officer. You know,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
So at the end of the day, it's totally disgusting. Just like I asked them, you know, city council meeting on Thursday when they came back, all of the African American black politicians, you know, why have they been silenced? Especially Darrell Clark, he's the president. You know, when we shut his meeting down, the first thing he told us was, "I'm concerned about, you know, the blacks in my neighborhood. I'm from North Philadelphia." Okay. So just like you say, you have this racist pig that stood up there and called us rabid animals, and he definitely was, you know, saying it towards the black community. He wasn't just specifically talking about Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
He's specifically talking about black people. And so if they're a black person, black councilman, somebody should have been stepped up and said something and, you know, condemned this man's comments. You know, it's totally disgusting that they still are silent. They haven't said anything. And as you can see by the shutdowns and things we've been doing, just like Brother Asa said earlier, none of the black politicians responded, said anything about David Jones until they were forced to. It's totally disgusting what they do in the city. Well, you know, especially the black politicians, you know, when they hear it, they see it publicly, and they hide and just sit and don't say anything. It's disgusting, but they want the votes. They want our votes, but they don't want to fight for us. They don't want to do anything for us, you know, and they have to be called out.
Brother Asa? Oh, go ahead. Good, Richard.
No, go ahead, Brother Asa.
No, I mean, Big Brother Ike is right. I mean, I made an official response that we were not going to allow the racist rants from the FOP to deter us or to distract us from our goal, which is to have the police officer arrested and charged for the murder of David Jones. I wouldn't expect anything less coming out of this racist bigot's mouth. This is the same FOP president who endorsed Donald Trump. This is the same FOP president who downplayed a racist cop with symbols or tattoos representing white supremacists as a symbol of just an eagle or whatever he said it was to downplay that. So, you know, this is, again, very tradition or within the tradition of law enforcement in Philadelphia. Under that whole spirit of racism, under the Rizzo, you know, presented in that law enforcement. So I really was not expecting anything positive that comes out of that biggest mouth. But what he did is, unfortunately for him, is that he lit a fire. It seems that under a few black police officers and who have understood now at this point that they are black first. And a lot of them are speaking out very defiantly on social media and not hiding their faces. And so they're willing to take the blows for it. I mean, at the end of the day, like I said before, no matter what uniform you put on or what profession you're in, you're black first. And I think under this administration, where a president is supporting KKK members and white supremacists and you know, you're clearly seeing white supremacist spirit attacking black and brown people. And we better have a meeting within ourselves and within our communities to say, you know what, we need to put our differences aside and stand together as black people. So, you know, what he did or what he said only hurt himself. It did not hurt us. It did not, damper anything that we are trying to do. If anything, it only reinforced the passion and the drive to have this racist police officer not only fired but charged again for the murder of David Jones.
I just want to bring up, I think that your point, Brother Asa, and is right on in relationship to what we have to do, because you know, is another thing that that comes to mind. We had a guest on who was talking about, you know, proportional representation. And what I hear is that we have to have a body of support of people who, like yourselves, like ourselves, who have a certain value to make sure that we put in these kind of politicians that reflect this value. And exactly. I say that because as we talk about and Ellie bring up about the FOP, we know that the Attorney General just went to a conference of a Fraternal Order of Police. And what did he give them? And what did he say? And I like to quote this from an article where he said, "We are fighting a multi-front battle, an increase in violent crime, a rise in vicious gangs, an opium epidemic, threats from terrorism combined with a culture in which family and discipline seems to be eroding further, and a disturbing disrespect for the rule of law." This is what Sessions says. And what did he's given them? Military grade equipment. So we're, you know, the question of what we have to deal with, and the reason why your point is so important as far as why we need to put aside our differences and mobilize around incidents or situations of getting rid of this police officer, getting him strictly fired and off the force from that 15th district and being able to monitor that 15th district, is because these guys will up their ante, and we have to be in alignment with each other. I wanted to know if y'all agree with that, based off of what you're seeing. And more importantly, do you see other organizations or whatever supporting your effort, like church community, like social active community, like other civic society, Black civic society groups that see what you're doing of value to Black Philadelphia in the effort that you're pushing forward?
Well, we see it. We're definitely seeing that, and Brother Ikey can speak to that also. In the Justice for David Jones Coalition, we have not only ministers, but we have other activists in Philadelphia. Sister Paula Peoples is a part of that coalition. Reverend Mark Tyler, Kelly Tyler is part of that from Power. Reverend Clay, representing some of the Black clergy, is part of it. We have grassroots organizations, as well as white allies, joining with us as well. So, you know, people get it. We have the support for those who are willing to put themselves on the line and believe that Black and brown people deserve justice, especially when law enforcement kills us. And so we do have tremendous amount of support. And I want to thank all of them, of the members of Justice for David Jones Coalition, because these are individuals that are made up of activists, are made up of ministers, made up of just working people who just felt compelled to, you know, to be a part of this and demand and stand with the family. But not only that, our brother John, which stood with us from the beginning, and he's a white ally, by him standing with us and going to the protest in front of the officer's home, the backlash that he received, you know, a few days after that, they went into his home and arrested him and charged him with terroristic threats from a previous protest, which was completely bogus. So we have, you know, there is a level of danger. They put out my address. They put out my phone number. We had to leave for a few days and go underground till I got the security right to protect me and my family. I know Brother Isaac gets the death threats as well, and as well as a lot of people who have put themselves on the line. So this is where the solidarity comes in at this point. This is where everyone who is fighting for justice for Black and brown people need and should always stand together, especially when you get comments from racist FOP presidents and not only locally, but nationally, when they come and attack Black and brown people. Every politician, every Black person should be outraged by the comments of that racist pig, Nick McNespy. Everyone should be outraged, because not only is he that type of thinking is generational thinking. This is the thinking that they've had against towards black and brown people generationally, not seeing us as human, dehumanizing us, which makes it easier for them to kill, labeling us some sort of creatures or demons, seeing us, again, not human, not even three-fifths of a human at this point, just seeing us as some sort of animal, rabid animal. When you think of a rabid animal, the end result for a rabid animal is to be shot.
Exactly.
And so, you know, this falls all into what law enforcement was originally created. It was created, they were called slave patrol. It was created to brutalize black and brown people. It was never created to protect black and brown people. So this is just the spirit of anti-blackness that exists. This is the same spirit that will drop a bomb on a family, the Move family, killing men, women, and children. And no one goes to jail, and everyone goes home and go to sleep. You know, we're saying no more of this. We're saying when you come into our communities and you create violence in our communities, and you disrupt the peace in our community, you're not going to go home anymore and sit down and watch reruns of Seven Heaven and right. sit there and eat your cheese effing sandwiches. Whatever you do, whatever action you do in our community is going to have a reaction. You're not going to cause terror in our community and get to go home safe and sound and be in peace. We're going to follow your behinds right to your home. And the same way you disrupt and cause violence in our community and cause a spirit of distress in our community, when we say no justice, no peace, that's exactly what we mean. We don't have no peace because of your violence. You won't have no peace in your neighborhood neither. We will come to your neighborhood. We will shut down your streets. We will post your pictures. We will call you out as well. So I think this is the take. This is what needs to be done at this point, because we're not getting justice, as I said before, in the courts. We're not. We're going to have to strategize again and take this to the next level.
Absolutely.
Let's
not in our
go
own
ahead.
Community.
Go ahead, Brother Gordon.
We can't destroy our own communities. That's the one thing we got to understand. We can't destroy our own communities. We got to come together, you know, and shut their economy down, just like the good people in St. Louis. You know, if it comes to that, then that's what has to be. You know, we can't blame our own community, burn our own communities down. You know, we got to make it rough for them. Go to Center City, you know, burn Center City down. I'm not advocating it, but people, we got to understand we still got to come home at the end of the day. You know what I mean? We burn our own communities down, where our family's going to go? So we got to be smart. We got to understand. We have to come together, first of all, and realize that it's an attack on us. It's an attack on black and brown people. It's an attack. It's an assault. And we got to come together and stand for each other and realize that we are under attack and we need to do something about it. Because it's like Brother Asa said, you know, we got to fight back. We just can't let them be comfortable in their home. You know, you kill a black man, you go home, eat your dinner, play with your kids, and everything is happy. No, your life has to be uncomfortable. Like David Jones' family life is uncomfortable. Like Brandon Tate Brown's family's life is uncomfortable. Every black man has been assaulted and killed by the police. You know, they have to be uncomfortable, too. So we have to start fighting back and, you know, doing to them what they're doing to us. You know, that's the only thing. Like you said, we're not getting justice in the courts. The courts is not giving us justice. So, you know, at the point in time, it comes a point in time where we have to get our own justice. And, you know, sad to say, but, you know, that's the time we're in. You know, that's the time we've been living in. It's just getting worse now because of, you know, we got people who feel as though they have the green light to show their racism and show their disrespect for black and brown people because they might see other people doing it that's in the position of leadership. So, you know, we all got to realize that we got to come together. You can't look at us and say, well, our tactics are bad. You shouldn't have done that. You're going too far. We can never go too far when you kill a black man and take him away from his family and we're seeking justice for that man's family. You can never go too far.
Let me take another call, but you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Our special guest this evening is activist and organizer and head of Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania, Brother Asa Khalif, along with his colleague, Brother Isaac Gardner, is with us. Let's go to the phones. 215-215.
Hey, Brother Elliot, how you doing, man?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Brother Richard, Brother Asa, and Brother Isaac. How y'all brothers doing tonight, man?
I'm good, brother.
Brother.
All praises be. You know, Brother Asa, when Brother Elliott was mentioning to you a few minutes ago, he was mentioning you and Brother Isaac, he was saying about the black colleagues that was at city council had, he didn't say anything when that cracker called out people rabid animals and stuff like that. But see, again, Brother Asa and Brother Isaac, that goes back to what I've been saying to Brother Elliott on this station many a times, and even on WRDI, our black station here in Philadelphia. See, these Negroes, like you always say, Brother Asa, they have lost their way, because, like you said, it shouldn't have had to take you and Brother Isaac them to go after Dale Clark. He's a black man. The black people, right, he's a black man. The people on city council, they got black women and stuff, you know. Why should you have to come and say something to them? They black. They see what's happening and stuff. Right. But they sit there and open their damn mouth when these devil cops kill our people. For example, I said this on Ellingham's show a while ago, Brother Asa and Brother Isaac. About 3-4 years ago, I can't remember exactly. So much stuff happened. It's hard to keep out in your brain. But several years ago, 34, not unarmed black men, but 34 unarmed black men was killed by the police. One of them being former Mayor Wilson Good's nephew, Timothy Good. To my direct recollection, Brother Isaac and Brother Asa, only one black person, if I remember correctly, was Senator Kitchens, voiced any outrage about what happened. All the other Negroes, Dale Clark, none of them, Cindy Bass, none of them said a word. You know what I mean? I'm saying to myself, how the hell can you be sitting there on city council or as a state rep? I'm not even going after the state reps. I'm talking about the state reps, the state senators. How can you be so-called representing black people and these devils killing people that look just like you? You don't open your damn mouth. Don't you realize that you're not immune from it yourself? You got black sons. I'm sure some of them got sons, they got daughters, they got nephews, they got brothers. These white cops don't show no kind of distinction when they kill our people. So for you to sit up there as an elected black official and don't open your mouth when these cops brutalize and kill our people, that's a total insult and disservice to our people, man. And that's why I applaud y'all brothers for going after Dale Clark and anybody else that remains silent when these things is happening to our people, Brother Asa and Brother Isaac. I can applaud, look at Sister Carr earlier and Brother Timothy Carr. I give y'all brothers so much props, man, and love and respect, man, because it should have been done a long time ago.
Yes,
I'm just keeping it real, man. You know,
and you forced us at this point to take this type of action. And you know, if we had support for those individuals in city council and representatives that we elect that come and solicit our votes in our neighborhoods, if they was to speak, you know, the activists would back them up, you
sure,
know, if
sure.
by speaking. And they're so cowardly, you know, that the roles are reversed. We are representing the people. Then if we're representing the people, what the hell are you in office for?
And notice, Brother Asa, notice what Dale Clark said. He sit there and say, well, I'm from the hood. I care about the brothers in the hood. Well, no, you saying that because Brother Asa and Brother Isaac jumped in your behind. That's why you're saying
exactly.
You didn't say anything before. See these Negroes, a lot of them, the truth be told, Brother Isaac and Brother Asa, a lot of these Negroes, male and female, whether it be on the city level, state, or federal level, all them Negroes, brothers, it's closing up the white folks, hinting and grinning, getting their paycheck, while people catching hell in the handbasket. They're just looking out for their own finance. That's why it takes brothers like y'all out there, the sisters and brothers like y'all, to come out there and challenge these people, because that's the only way you're going to make these Negroes do the right thing. And them Negroes has got to know, if you don't do the right thing, you're going to vote your head off. You're not going to keep thinking you're going to get the paycheck, and you're going to remain silent in the face of all these atrocities against our people. This stuff cannot stand and stuff, man. I mean, it's just, I get so outraged when I see these things, man. I say, do y'all Negroes see what's going on? These cops killing our people, man, left and right, brutalized, they getting away with it, and y'all Negroes ought to be a damn mouth. Don't say nothing. You sit around these little racist bigots like Bobby Hinton and all them other devils, and y'all sit there hand and grin with them while they can go to a hate rally up in the Northeast with that old cracker McNesby. I mean, this stuff is just so outrageous, man. It's enough to make your blood pressure go up.
No, and don't let your blood pressure go, because we need your voice, brother. We need your voice, but I feel your passion, man. I feel your passion, and we need, that's why it's so important that we need outlets, you know, like Brother Elliott's show. We need outlets even at WRD. You know, we need black talk media, because we're not going to be able to express ourselves this way and to get out the information, which is so vital in, you know, with the white media. They're just not going to do it. And this is where we come together. This is our coming, quote unquote, coming to Jesus moment. We have to get past a lot of the nonsense. They know that if they can divide us or give a few Negroes some money and put them over here and give a few privilege over this side, then we can say, oh, well, that's them over that side. That's not in North Philadelphia. That we don't live in North Philadelphia. We're in the suburbs. We're here. We're there. No, this is what Trump has showed us, that nobody is safe in black and brown communities at this point. Nobody. He's going after everybody. And that, so I think a light, has been fire has been lit under black people now, that we are coming together. You see elders now marching with our generation in Black Lives Matter. We've had more elders, and Ike can testify to this as well. We have more elders who that we can reach out to, that have been there for us, that have stood with us, that are willing to put their bodies on the line. People are coming out of the shadows now and realizing that only way we can fight this fight is if we fight it together. That's the only way we can get any type of victories. And so we need to hold these politicians accountable. We got to check this. We're going to run our own people. We're getting rid of half of those suckers that they got up there in city council. And so we got a list. We're calling people out, and we're going to remind folks, we're going to remind black people, when we needed them the most, they were silent. And their silence is violence. And so we got a check card. Legendary Mary Mason, whether your people liked her or not, she always said a scorecard. And
yes,
I grew
did.
My parents grew up with Mary Mason, so legacy has been lit down here to me. She always had a scorecard, and she called them Negro politicians out when they tried to come and run for money and ask for someone. A lot of these black politicians, and my brother Ike can talk about it also, get a lot of money from the FOP. That's
absolutely
the reason why they're silent. You know what I'm saying? They have sold out their communities, because once you take money from law enforcement that brutalizes in your community, you've already sold out. So it's very easy for them not to be silent.
And brother,
Darryl
Clark one last
is the main
thing.
One.
And brother,
hey,
Aston,
ahead, bro.
Brother, I'll close with this and stuff. And thanks, y'all been much generous with y'all time. I'll close with this. You notice you see a lot of black athletes and even entertainers now speaking out against police brutality. They pretty much joined with Colin Kaepernick, taking a stance with him. Even some of it may be symbolic, some of it more active. But you see more of them speaking out, because as I shared with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on many occasions, Brother Isaac and Brother Asa, see, if we could talk to some of these black athletes, entertainers, because you've seen what happened to the brother played for Seattle, Michael Bennett, how the Las Vegas police put guns to his head and all that stuff. Yeah. And we know what happened years ago to D. Brown. And to show how these devils are so outrageous, Brother Isaac and Brother Asa, back in 1990, D. Brown, who played for the Boston Celtics, now he's a dark-skinned black man. Now, I think a day before, he was up in a white suburb outside of Boston, and he was with his girlfriend, who happened to be Caucasian. He was a fiancé at the time. And the white woman got robbed by this black man. She claimed a black man. The black man that robbed her was a light-skinned black man. So the police already knew they was looking for a light-skinned black man. But since D. Brown is black, he fit the description. So in these devil's minds, Brother Ace and Brother, because this is their mindset, not mine, any nigga do. So how are you going to sit there and arrest a dark-skinned black man? We already know that the man that allegedly robbed this lady was a light-skinned black man. See, I know how they think, because the same thing happened to me back in 2001 or whatever. I was meeting a friend of mine for dinner, and these white cops said I had robbed a store up in Frankfurt. They said it was a real dark-skinned black man. I'm a dark-skinned black man, but I'm not dark. And I'm like medium brown-skinned, but yet I fit the description, even though the store owner described him as a real dark-skinned black man, real, real dark. But see, in their minds, any nigga will do.
That's the danger of anti-blackness. It crosses all color lines. It crosses all educational lines.
Exactly.
And when I say color lines, I'm talking about within our color. It doesn't matter if you're high yellow, middle, brown, dark brown. They see black, period. And it doesn't matter how much education you got or where you live at. Anti-blackness anywhere is anti-blackness everywhere. And that's the mentality. And that's the spirit. You know, Brother Minister Farrakhan said it very, very clearly. Mm-hmm. You know, that we are dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
So there's
yes.
a spiritual component to this anti-blackness as well. And that's why we call on our ancestors to lead us and guide us, as well as our physical being out there, you know, and putting ourselves on the ground. But we're going to have to fight this not only physically, but we're going to have to go back to our roots and remind us that we got here also by our spiritual connection to our Creator. Because these devils don't have no spiritual connection.
No, they
serve their father, the devil, which is Satan. So that's why they're able to do, that's why they're able to kill and hang black women and brutalize black women and shoot black children, because they are doing, carrying out the actions of their father, which is the devil. And so we have to maintain our spiritual root. We cannot afford to, you know, to dismiss the spiritual component that has kept us from generation to generation. So we rely on our ancestors. We rely on our Creator to give us the strength and the wisdom to outsmart these devils.
And last point, Brother Asa, when you look at, you see how the white man is in complete phobia about North Korea, saying about Kim Jong-un with nuclear weapons. But let the record show for the whole world, the only people ever dropped a nuclear bomb on somebody was the white man. See, that's why we're getting about how this mass hysteria with them. They talk about Saddam Hussein with weapons of mass destruction. Nobody has did. And I'm not no hateful person, because I got friends of all races, but we just got to keep it real. These people have did the most brutal treatment of any human beings on this earth. You go back to all the killers of them, King Leopold, Columbus. I mean, these people have brutalized people, yet they got the nerve to sit there and call somebody a terrorist, call somebody a murderer. Who have murdered more people and more animals, more, who have destroyed the sanctity of life more than the white man has? But they had the audacity to put that label on others, man. That's wickedness right there. When you know you're the wicked one, but you're going to put that label on somebody else, man. And that's why, like I said, it's important, like you said, Brother Ace and Brother Isaac, for us to come together and stand up. That's why, like I said, you can talk to some of these black athletes, entertainers, they will tell you, they've been, see, a lot of them keep it, because a lot of them got white agents, so they told them, white agents told them, look, don't go to the press with this, because you'll be looked upon as a troublemaker. I bet you more black athletes and more black entertainers than you think, a lot of them been stopped and bruised by the police, but they've been told by their white agents, keep it on the down low, don't say anything about it, because when them brothers leave these sports arenas and these entertainment halls, they still black men and black women. They get, they driving nice cars, so it automatically makes them a target of these racist white cops. I bet y'all would love to be able to talk to some of the sisters, brother. They would reveal some stuff to you, Brother Asa and Brother Isaac, that you probably would be surprised about.
No, I mean, I've been in contact, and I won't say who, but I've been in contact with several athletes here in Philadelphia in our dialogue, because we are working to do some sort of solidarity action. And I will, you know, tell our big brother Ikey, you know, reveal that in a private conversation.
Okay,
but,
no problem.
You know, but I think, but what you're saying is absolutely true. I think black people, no matter where they are at this point, are realizing that, you know, we really have nothing to lose but our change. And I think the spirit of solidarity now is coming back to our communities. That solidarity that white supremacy tried to destroy and separate. I think the ancestors have allowed us to have a breakthrough. We are coming together. We are using our tool that is in our toolbox to make sure that we are educating ourselves and supporting each other. And I think we're going into, you know, the fall and into a new year, I think we're going to see, and you see it already, there's something in the air. You feel it in the air. Black people are coming together.
Yes.
And for those Negroes who choose to obey the and be a slave to that type of white supremacy, for whatever reason, black folks are calling them out, and we are, you know, putting them aside and coming together with those who want to. You know, everybody is not going to be free. Everybody doesn't want to be free. Everybody doesn't want to be woke. Even Harriet Tubman said she could have freed 1,000. She said she could have freed more than 1,000 if they had the spirit of the willingness to be free. And so, you know, but we cannot afford at this point, and Brother Elliot can agree with me on this too, that we cannot afford no longer to try to push folks who want to be in chains. If you want to be free, you better ride with the freedom bus and roll with us. If you want to be in slavery and captivity, we love you, brother and sister, but if that's your choice, then we're going to have to leave you behind, because we are fighting against a juggernaut of anti-blackness, and we're going to need everyone that is willing to lay their lives down, put their bodies on the line to fight it.
Yes. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for your call,
brother
Joe.
And Brother Asa and Brother Isaac, thank y'all, brothers, for your comments. And I encourage your brothers to keep the good work y'all doing, and may the credit continue to bless y'all, brothers and sisters, with strength. and encourage and endurance, because believe me, y'all brothers like a guy. I said, man, I just love y'all and respect y'all. Y'all keep the good work, and it was an honor talking to both of y'all brothers tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call.
Good evening. Enjoy your night.
You do the same, good brother.
Brother Asa, Brother Isaac, you got a few more minutes to stay with us?
Sure, brother. No problem, Brother L.
Good. We're going to take a brief break.
Yeah, I'm good.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You can get involved, too, by dialing in the time we have left, 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard this special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
WELOVE 108 FM.
What we need, hey. Our freedom of speech is freedom of death.
As the rhythm's designed to bounce with calcifental rhymes, designed to fill your mind now that you realize the prize arrives. We got the pump, the stuff to make it tough. From the heart, it's a start, a work of art to revolutionize, make a change, something strange. People, people, we are the same, no we're not the same, cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless. You say, what is this? My beloved, let's get down to business, mental self-defense of fitness. Don't rush the show.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. We're in conversation tonight with activist, organizer, head of Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania, Brother Asa Khalif is with us, along with his colleague in the struggle, Brother Isaac Gardner. Both men are with us this evening in conversation. Before we go to the phones, there's a couple more callers on the line. Yeah, Brother Asa, Brother Isaac, we see that Richard Ross fired to kill a cop that gunned down David Jones. I think that that we can't let ourselves fall for the okie doke. And when I say that, we know that the reason Richard Ross did what he did was because the pressure of you men and women that was involved with the actions. But something that we have to monitor, and I noticed that black media, by and large, doesn't do this. But I think conscious black media or conscious people in media need to start monitoring it. If you notice, when a lot of these cops, for example, when Mike Brown was killed in Ferguson, right outside of St. Louis, that white cop, Darren Wilson, had been fired or disciplined from another police department and went to Ferguson and did what he did. The same thing with Tamir Rice when he was killed. 12-year-old young boy killed in the park by a killer cop that was from another area that was moved to Cleveland. We see that now this cop is fired. Those FOPs do all they can to either get their jobs back or to see them moved somewhere else. You know these FOPs take care of these guys. They send them to other areas. They might send them to upstate Pennsylvania, outside New York City, other cities, and they'll have another jobs in law enforcement to do the same thing to somebody else. So we got to, just like you mentioned before, both of you men, talking about keep the pressure on, we got to see that these people are prosecuted for killing people. This guy's a back shooter. He shot. It's a blessing that the other brother's not dead. He could have very well killed two men instead of one. But
And he was definitely trying, Brother Elliot, to kill our brother Cornell.
He heard his testimony go past his head.
Yeah, he was definitely aiming to kill him. And again, you know, the Creator had other plans for our brother Carnell, because he, in spite of his injuries, in spite of him being confined to a wheelchair, that brother is stronger than ever. His mind is right. You know, he has, you know, me and brother Ikey and John, he has a family that's, you know, out, that's not necessarily blood, but we care for our brother just like he was family. And you know, and sometimes, you know, the Creator allows certain people to come into your life to inspire you and to motivate you and to pick you up. And he's going to, Brother Elliot, I want to introduce you to him, Brother Ikey and I, so you can have a conversation with him, because he's already getting his strength together so he can lead some of these actions as well in terms of calling for this police officer's arrest. We got a long journey ahead of us, and I know a lot of individuals was hitting us up and congratulating us, and thanks, you know, for that, for the encouragement, but this is far from over. We have to immediately step up our game to make sure that this officer is arrested before he, you know, enters into the convicted, obviously, but we definitely need the arrest. We definitely need that, because the arbitration period is coming.
Okay.
And, you know, and that system, especially here in Philadelphia, has a history of getting police officers their job back.
Yes.
And so we definitely, you know, we had a break to breathe. We appreciate that. But next week, you know, when we meet again, you know, we will be in place. Issue, you know, actions, potential actions that we're that we've been discussing. You know, we have to step it up, and we're gonna need. This is where everyone comes in at this point, because when we start the process again to on the road to justice for David Jones, and on that road, we definitely need this officer arrested. We need folks not condemning us. We need people standing with us, praying with us, organizing with us, whether you're in the front line or behind the scenes, because we're not going to stop. You understand, Brother Elliot? We're not going to stop. There is a fire that is burning in our spirits, and our ancestors are driving this. We want justice, not only just for David Jones. We want justice for Brandon Tate Brown. My family is still going through a very hard time. Dealing with this. This is very difficult. I have not been in front of the 15th district. The first time I've been back to that 15th district since we were marching and getting arrested, fighting for justice for Brandon Tate Brown, was when Brother Ikey, the Creators had put in, the ancestors put in his spirit to create the rally for the first time. That was my first time back in front of that 15th district. And it took every ounce of strength for me to be back in that situation, because the flashbacks of his mother, Brandon's mother, my relatives, my cousins, his father, and so on, is still a sore and painful issue within our family. And now that the holidays are coming up again. So, you know, that district, the 15th district, is a district and a symbol of anti-blackness, violence towards black and brown people, not only just with this officer Pennell, but with other officers who have come out of that district who abuse black and brown people. So this is a bigger issue. It didn't start with David Jones. Unfortunately, it's not going to stop with David Jones. And so we need to, you know, we need to focus on this present case, and then we can work our way back to the others. You know, that have been affected by law enforcement, within particularly that district, 15th district. So we got a fight ahead of us. And I ask everyone who's listening, please pray for me. Please pray for Brother Ike, you know, and pray for all of us that are involved in this process. But when you're out in the front, you get the blows first, you know. And so we're going to need everybody. We need everybody to stand with us. And if you physically can't stand with us, like I said, help us work behind the scenes. Give us a call, you know, send us an email, say we're praying for you. We need your words of encouragement, too. because we both all know that words carry life. And wow. So we need those words to help us, you know, go on. This is very dangerous, you know, and we're human. So we can't say that we don't have butterflies when we go and do these things. We're putting ourselves on the line.
Well, it's definitely not a game. It's definitely real.
But it's definitely real. And we're willing to put our bodies on the line at this point. I think at some point when you're in this movement and when you're fighting for justice, you know, you come to terms with whatever the Creator allows to happen is going to happen. But, you know, we are willing to put our bodies on the line for justice, not only for David Jones, but for all black and brown people, especially here in this city.
Let's go to
definitely not over.
Let's go to 267. 267, what's your name? Where are you calling from? 267? Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to 646. 646. 646.
Yeah, this is Jay. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, I'm good, brother. I can't complain. Hey, listen, you know, I've been listening to the brothers and what they're saying, and, you know, it's all good. You know, it's the usual. You know, it's really no different than, you know, what anybody else is saying. But, you know, myself personally, I think, you know, let's get down to the real talk, the real smacky, smacky, smack. And that's boycotting. You know, all the other talk is just BS, man. You know, you gotta identify somebody and you gotta crack that ass. And once you do that, then you really gonna have some power. You know what I mean? Because then they're gonna respect you. Then they're gonna fear you. You know what I mean? Other than that,
I'm not getting what you're saying, brother. Who should we boycott?
Yeah, boycott
who? Asking,
man, what are you,
who are we boycotting?
Me? You should boycott, identify someone. Who do you see as being a problem to the interests of black people in Philadelphia?
One second, brother, because we don't want to get off track. And while we're on here talking, we're demanding justice for David Jones. We've identified the killer cop. That's what we want. That's our goal. I understand what you're talking in terms of boycotting, but that may be dealing with anti-blackness and maybe a corporation or a company that's participating in anti-blackness. We can boycott right. that. But in this sense, boycott is not an option here. This is direct action to put pressure on the attorney general to prosecute this killer cop. And so that's our goal right now,
brother.
They're
all intertwined. They all intertwine with one another. You have to be able to hurt them in a way to make them make that decision. How are you going to hurt them to make them fire that police officer? Where
brother,
is the
I'm not going to, and I don't mean to be rude.
Well, no, hold on a second, brother. Let me say something to him.
What is his solution?
My solution is to identify someone, a store, a business, an organization.
No, you're not understanding, brother. Not to cut you off, but you're not understanding. You're not... A store or a business does not have nothing to do with killing black people, brother. Jay, hold on a second.
Because our time is very valuable, and we're not going to get into this nonsense about boycott versus direct action.
Right,
you understand? We got a black man who's been murdered. And the reason why we're on tonight is to deal with solutions on how to take it to the next level to get this police officer arrested and charged with the murder of David Jones. And when we get into these type of conversations where we're mixing apples and oranges, it's not right. helping the conversation. And
not
I know
all.
A lot of people need to keep talking about why we're on. Now, if you want us to come on about boycotting, then maybe that's something that Brother Elliot allows us to come back. We can do that. But right now, we're talking about direct action because we want justice. We want the officer arrested and charged with murder of killing our dear brother, David Jones.
And how long ago was Jay Lee Jones' version?
Jay, let me help you with this here.
No, I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm not going to say no more about it.
How long ago was David Jones murdered?
June 8th.
He was murdered.
June 8th.
Okay, so this process y'all been going through for, let's say, the last 3 or 4 months, trying to get the officer arrested for his murder?
The first fired now, which we've accomplished. Next is arrested.
Jay, let me help you with that. Jay, listen to me. Let me help you with this. Eric Gardner was murdered up there in New York, right?
Right.
Is that officer still on the force?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want you to listen I want you to listen clearly. What these men are doing, and men and women that were involved with them here in Philadelphia, is something that needs to be done in all of these cities. Direct action. Direct action. They ain't talking about marching around with signs saying, give peace a chance. They're not talking about that. They're confronting these people right in their face, cussing them out if necessary, and letting them know, you better not put your hands on me. They're talking about direct action. Because of these direct actions, some of these black elected officials here in the city of Philadelphia, because Philadelphia got more elected officials, the city councilmen used to have a black mayor, black police chief, everybody was black in Philadelphia. It was supposed to be a model for some of these other cities around the country. They had to confront these black elected officials in city council, disrupted it, told them they ain't conducting no business until you deal with this issue, shamed them to the point where the black police commissioner had fired the guy. Now, the fight is not over like those men are saying. They want the man prosecuted. They're talking about direct action. It was no direct action taken about Eric Gardner. And I'm not faulting nobody in New York. Maybe some of the people in New York don't have the balls to do with it being done here. You can't come on here and talk about, I've heard this conversation before. No, you haven't heard the conversation before that these men are talking about here. You haven't heard it because it hasn't been done up there in New York. Eric Gardner's murderer is still walking around, ready to shoot somebody else, ready to chokehold somebody else. Now, maybe somebody listening up there in New York can start doing what these men and women are trying to do here. Come on, man. Don't downplay or underplay with these men and women are risking their lives out there. Going up there to this officer's house. Somebody could have pointed a gun out there and shot him and said, they were threatening me. I felt threatened. You hear it all the time. That's the blanket excuse that white folks use around this country when they're killing black folks. I felt threatened. Come on, I'm not going to let you do that, Jay. You're more intelligent than that. I'm not going to let you downplay what these people are doing here. Somebody needs to take a page out of their book and do it up there. Maybe that old fool, that killer cop up there that choked Eric Gardner, that didn't feel no problems in choking Eric Gardner to death, maybe he wouldn't be walking around on the force if you had some men and women like Brother Isaac Gardner and Brother Asa up there in New York. Maybe somebody can take a page out of their book. But come on, man, you're too intelligent for that. Don't downplay what these brothers are doing.
No. What I'm saying is, what I was trying to say is, and like he said, if it was in regards to boycotting, to come back and speak about it in another time. But, you know, it has to be, in a sense, more twofold. But, I don't have no problem with what they're doing. They're doing what they got to do to get the job done, but...
No. They're doing what we got to do. They're doing what we got to do.
I always believe that if you go after their pocket, it deals with the situation on a much more.
Well, listen. Let me help you. Let me help you with this, Jay.
There's nothing. Ball game, it seems.
No, it's not. It's the same all over the country. But let me help you with this.
I don't know.
Let me help you with this because. For there go the grace of God, go me or you.
Right.
Now, you got sons. I assume you got children. And if you don't, you got nephews and nieces. All you got to do is have one of them gunned down for no reason at all because they was walking down the street, didn't have their driver's license. One of their light bulbs was out on the car. Some stupid-ass reason that you hear, the blanket reason that you hear all around the country. If that happened to one of your children, and your name wouldn't be carried on because one of your children has been cut short by some of these racist pigs, then you wouldn't be talking about, oh, I want to boycott a store. The hell with a store. You'd be trying to get some people together and go down there and confront these people to the point where you might want to take some physical force. So come on, man. We can do a little better than this. Jay, we can do better than what you're saying.
I have no problem at all with what you say, Elliot. Believe me, I have no problem.
All right, Jay. I look forward to your call, man. Peace. Let me grab one more. You brothers, all right, time wise?
No, we good, brother Elliot.
Richard,
I'm good.
Can I get in on this conversation?
Yes, yeah. I've been listen 267. I've been calling. What, you been on hold? You done walked away from your phone? Come on,
yeah,
man. What's your name, brother?
My name is Darrell L. I'm in Southwest Philadelphia, and I just wanted to give both the brothers, Asa Gardner. You guys are doing a great job, man. And a friend of mine, Roger Ralph G, turned me on to this station tonight, and I've been listening for the last couple of hours. You guys are doing a great job putting your lives on the line. Daryl Green and that confrontation Center City. I was lost for words, realizing that these guys are hiding behind their political office, black men and women, and not willing to step up and say anything, letting the white man call us pigs and rats and those types of things, man. But I'm just taken aback, man, about you guys, and I'm looking probably to make a meeting and see what I can do to get involved in one way or the other.
So I
just wanted to say that real quick, man, and God bless you guys, man, and to have the young folks. And I guess I'm considered an elder because I'm 59. And look, man, we got to do what we got to do. It's time for change, though. It is. That's all.
Absolutely.
I got. All right.
Thank you for your call, brother.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Brother Asa, brother Isaac,
yes,
listen, I want to thank you guys for what you've been doing, man, and your work.
Thank you, brother.
I should have had you on here a while ago. It was hard trying to get to track you down. I talked with Sister Sakari, and she finally passed me along the number. Glad to have you on, man. I'm glad to have Brother Isaac with us.
And shout out to our dear sister, Sakari Rose. I stand on her shoulders, too. I was in high school when I went to my first action that Sister Sakari Rose did, shutting down construction sites that didn't hire black and brown people. So, I stand on the shoulders of our elders, and I'm going to actually get in contact with Sister Sakari. I haven't spoken to her in a while, but the type of actions that we have done and that you're highlighting, have been done by our elders, and we stand on the shoulders of them to that they paved the way. So I shout out to Sister Sakari Rose, a black woman standing and shutting down sites with less than six people sometimes. So she definitely deserves her props, and I'm just glad that her name has resurfaced yet again, and her legacy. So we definitely salute our dear Sister Sakari Rose.
Brother Asa, Brother Isaac, give me a couple more calls. Let me just take these two more, clear this board. Let's go to 602, 602 area code.
Yes, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard and your guests, good evening. This is Marcus from Memphis.
How are you, Marcus?
I'm doing all right. Yes, brother. Yes, brothers, I respect what you're doing, and as I say, it's a very bold stand, But I just say, I was reading a quote the other day. It said, political power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And maybe we need to take it up to that notch, the brother Javier and brother Cosmos. Because, that's the only language these crackers understand, really, They tell us to, you be nonviolent, but you see what their response to you when you went, they turn the violence on you. This man is a human too, He ain't no Superman. You see, he bleed just like everybody else bleed. So maybe that's what we need to do. Take it up to that notch, as well, as Malcolm X say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Anyway, you take care, good brothers.
Brother Marcus,
appreciate you, brother.
Thank you for your call.
All right.
Let's go to 773.
You got me, brother?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you, the show, and your guests, and I am full support of what they are saying and doing. But I want to say something about a bigger picture here. What is happening now to black people in America, they're creating an atmosphere for us to be exterminated. This is much bigger than police. This is a system of racism and white supremacy. And it's connected to a worldwide system of racism and white supremacy. Now, one solution people might want to think about is getting out of here. If you want to save your life, if you got some young children, you want to save their life, you need to think about getting them out of here. Marcus Garvey told us this in the early 20s. Garvey said, if we did not go back to Africa and reclaim Africa for us and the Africans, he said, if we didn't do that, they was going to do away with us here, and then they was going to do away with the Africans there. It is going down just as Garvey predicted, and that's what people need to think about. Right now, I'm in the mode of warning people and trying to get many lives and children's lives saved as possible, because these psychopaths, that is their plan. When they show these images of them shooting black people down, it goes across the world. It goes across the world. They're showing the world that black people are not human, that they deserve this. This is what you'll do to them. They cannot get rid of millions of black people with a racist police shooting one here, one there, one there. Those police are sitting the table. And we also have seen racism is picking up from white citizens. They've been emboldened by Donna Hitler Mussolini Dump. So people, think about this. If you can get out, if you had the wherewithal, some people know people in another country. You want to try to save your grandchildren. You don't want Zimmerman to get your granddaughter and your grandson. You might want to think seriously about getting them out of here. Because it's going down. If you just open your eyes, you will see it unfolding. Mr. Hitler told the German people, he told them, have no pity. Be brutal. That's what we are seeing right here. No pity, be brutal. And I appreciate the brothers' leadership, because there is no political leadership. I called the talk show here in Chicago and other parts of the country, and I exposed them. The Black Caucus, Danny David, Maxine Waters, these people ain't saying nothing about this police terror and assassination. How you going to be a political official, a congressman, and don't say nothing about that? That's why Kim Young won't say nothing about what's happening here to us. And how can this country assassinate us on camera by police and then go over there and talk about how bad Kim Young is, how bad Hussein Gaddafi is? The black politicians should be standing on the desk and say, wait a minute, boy. How can you go talk about Hussein and Kim Young and black people being assassinated here, setting the table for their extermination? But no black leadership say that. But it's one thing I did want to ask you, brother. Donna Hitler Mussolini Dump was supposed to be passing a law to make it much more stricter to come down on a demonstrator. They can take their property. They can get them like 15 or 20 years in prison. And are you aware of that law, and did they pass it? That is a law from Nazi Germany.
I am aware that bill that they were trying to pass. To my knowledge, brother, that is still up to actually be up for consideration to be to vote on. But I am aware that under the Trump administration and Jeff Sessions, they are definitely trying to push that bill. And it actually was constructed to specifically deal with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, I agree. And if they pass that law, brother, it's going to be just like Hitler in Germany when he passed the same darn law. And look, when the Jews got liberated in Germany, they did not stay in Germany and say, we're going to make boss treat us right. They got the hell out of there, and they got help to take somebody else's land from world governments. They got help to do that. Another thing about Germany, we have to recognize here that didn't happen. Germany had to disavow all hate, the swastika, any kind of Nazism. You couldn't even talk about it. They had to disavow that. They didn't do that on their own. They had to do that to get rebuilt from the white power structure in the world. They told them that's something they had to do. This country has never repented for what they have done to us and continue. They never apologized. They never offered up reparation. The reason they haven't done that, people, listen carefully. They haven't done that because they are not finished with us. That's why they won't apologize. That's why we don't say we did these people wrong. We're going to get them reparations because they are not finished with us, but they are coming to the finish. I thank you for the time, brother. I just had to tell people exactly what's coming down the pipe. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you for your call.
Appreciate you, brother. Good night.
Brother Asa. Brother Isaac,
yes, sir.
Listen, give out any information that you want. The listening audience, if they want to support, if they want to send money, send letters of support, anything you want to give, the floor is yours, both of you.
Well, Ike, you want to go first, and then
Your
contact information.
Yeah, we got a page for Justice for David Jones, Justice, JUSTICE, the number 4. JAVIDJONES, that's the page. We also have a group on Facebook, Friends Who Like Justice for DJ, so you can add yourself to that, add your friends. We share a lot of information about the events that we do, all information relating to the murder of David Jones, all the updates on the case, you know, police officer being fired, when he get arrested, everything like that. I'm on Facebook, Isaac Gardner, ISAACGRDNER. Another page, Ike Raw, IKEYRAW. So, you know, go check us out. Make sure that you support, you know, what we're doing and everything like that, and we'll have all the information there. As far as money donating and everything like that, we have a GoFundMe. David Jones, family member, made up a GoFundMe where she's going to give a college scholarship of $5,000 to someone who's been incarcerated before, is looking to turn their life around. So it's on the page in the group as well. You could donate. It's a GoFundMe David Jones Scholarship Fund. We got that also, you know, just in his memory to do something good, you know, okay, to give back to the community.
Okay.
And you can reach us at our Black Lives Matter Movement Pennsylvania chapter on our Facebook page. You can reach me on my Facebook page and Twitter, Asa Khalif. Any donations, we will... And email me at asakhalif@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to put you in towards the link make donations also. And finally, you know, I want to thank you, brother, for sharing your platform and allowing me and Brother Isaac to come and discuss and give an update concerning this heinous crime. We asked you to your listeners to please keep our brother Carnell in your prayers, please keep the family of David Jones, his Absolutely. Mother, his father, his brothers, his sisters, his whole entire family, his son, keep them in your prayers and just mention their names out and call their names out for strength. We have a long, long battle. I want to thank everybody who participated in all the actions. I want to thank everyone in every member of the Justice for David Jones Coalition. I want to thank all our allies. I want to thank all the members of Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania. You know, pray for us. Pray for me and Brother Ike. We really are going to need your prayers as we take this to the next level and to the next stage. And thanks again for everyone who called in, and thank you for your support. And again, thank you, brother, for this platform and for reaching out and giving us a chance to give an update and explain why we do this, and what the Black Lives Matter movement is all about.
Definitely appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it.
Well, the door is
open. We definitely got more work to go. Just let everybody know. We're not done. So don't think we're happy with just the firing of the cop, because he has to be arrested, like Brother Asa said, and also ultimately convicted of the crime. So we're pushing for that. We won't stop. So, like you said, we appreciate everybody that's been helping us out, everybody that's been paying attention. Just keep us in your prayers, keep us in your thoughts, and pray for the family, Mr. Jones, and every family, victims of police brutality and police corruption.
And, brother, if I can, I would like to end with this quote from, again, our sister Shakur. It is our duty to win. It is our duty to win. We must love and protect one another. We have absolutely nothing to lose but our chains. So I just want to thank, again, everyone for their support. And, again, keep us in your prayers and keep that family in your prayers for their strength, because it's a long battle that we have. And we have not finished fighting yet. We want justice for David Jones, and we're not going to rest until we get it.
I'll be in touch with both you men. The door is always open to you and to give us updates and things of that nature. So I'll be in touch.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother, so much.
Appreciate you.
We'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back to end the program.
Are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
What is in 1 million brothers and sisters who are tired of the same old rhetoric, the same old leaders, the same old ways of dealing with political and economic empowerment? If you realize that nobody's going to save black people but us, if you understand that no existing political party prioritizes the best interests of African Americans as a collective, if you believe that leadership is as leadership does, and this means that the best leaders for the black collective must come from the ranks of those who place and hold the best interests of black people foremost and uttermost, if you understand that black people must develop the mindset and the will to finance their own racial uplift organizational efforts, then get involved with 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. The movement is now. Go to www.iamoneofthemillion.com. That's www.iamoneofthemillion.com.
Hey, did y'all see the stuff I posted on my wall?
No, it didn't even show up in my news feed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either.
No, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy Black365.com.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. I want to thank our guest this evening that spent some time with us to let us know what they're doing here in the city of Philadelphia for black people here in the city. the direct action that has been taken in reference to killer cops that's running around the city of Philadelphia, still working, still functioning on a racist police department here and protected by a racist FOP. I want to thank activists and organizers and head of Black Lives Matter Philadelphia, Black Lives Matter Pennsylvania, Brother Asa Khalif, along with his colleague, Brother Isaac Gardner, that was here with us to share this evening about the struggle that we're facing. You know, there for the grace of God go I, or some of our loved ones. Somebody around the country is going to pick up the paper tomorrow and see that in their city or in their town that somebody has been murdered by sheriff's department, or police departments. This is a policy all over this country. We don't want to see that happen to anybody. But we know that it's going to happen to somebody around this country. It's a struggle that we face. We're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to come up with strategies and war strategies. Our people haven't adopted a war strategy when dealing with Europeans. It's always been some type of friendly coercion, a friendly communications to try to let them know that you're hurting us, you're stepping on our toes, get them to understand type of conversation. Europeans clearly understand what they've been doing to black folks for 400 years here in this country. They clearly understand. We have to adopt another philosophy dealing with them. We have to adopt another strategy. We can't always be reactive. We have to adopt a war strategy and implement it. I know that a lot of our people don't want to face the fact or deal with the reality of the situation, but it's going to come to some type of confrontations. We can see it. It's headed that direction. Europeans don't understand anything but confrontation. But we got to come up with some solutions on how we're going to deal with it. A lot of these things are going to put our community at odds. I think we got to decide what side we're going to be on and stick with it and be there for our brothers. Church communities around these nations got to understand that our people are under attack. They're going to have to adopt another philosophy besides turning your cheek. Spend time reading the Bible that you're preaching in these places of worship every Sunday. All these men didn't adopt no turn your cheek philosophy. We got to understand what we got to do and what we're facing. If we want our life for our babies and our women and our families to move forward, we're going to have to adopt another strategy dealing with our former captors, Europeans. It's going to be necessary. It's high time. It's been past time. Have to develop a new philosophy and a new paradigm for our people, and we can't do it with somebody on our neck. You got to get the person off of your neck. If you're dealing with a bully, you got to figure out some kind of way to get the bully off your back. Sometimes all a bully understands is force, because he's using force against you. That's why, and I keep preaching on this program, when we talk about solutions, I keep mentioning think tanks all around these cities, towns where black folks are. We need to develop think tanks, come up with strategies, and implement the strategies. There's nothing wrong with prayer, but we can't spend all the time, all the day, Sunday, Wednesday, all during the week, and Saturday, and all on our knees. You can't do that. The same higher power that we're praying to gives us a mind to utilize. We got to come up with strategies and solutions. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. If you didn't catch any of it, you can always go to timeforawakening.com. If you missed some of the portions of the program, you can go to timeforawakening.com and hear the podcast in its entirety, along with other podcasts of other programs. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Are you watching your children playing after school? They seem to be so unaware. I know the things that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Such a small part of the things that they'll soon be right at the heart of. My little Tommy, he said he wants to be a fireman.